This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's begin.
This isn't my personal experience, but one of the old-timer MRI techs at a hospital I used to work for, they told me some wild stories. Apparently, the old location of the MRI was very haunted. A woman would look out of the changing area as if to say, "Are you gonna take me back now?" And then just vanish. Everyone in that section of the hospital knew of her. The doors opened on their own, and lights went out all the time.
Let's begin.
This story happened back when I was in college. I lived in my state's capital, going to a 4-year university that was named after said state, and living in an apartment. I had no car, but since the campus was just a 20-minute bus ride away, and about 60% of the residents in the 1,000-plus unit complex were students at the college, the buses were fairly consistent and convenient. I had a bike, but mostly used the bus or I walked everywhere. My class schedule was a combination of early evening classes, with one or two early morning classes depending on the semester. This was common practice, as many students had part-time jobs during the day. I wasn't much different. Between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, I had a part-time assistance position at an accountant's office, mostly managing the 30-foot by 50-foot file storeroom they had. Because of the schedule, I often spent my weekends working on homework and projects, and would run errands like grocery shopping when I got out of class at 10 p.m., The city buses stopped at 11 p.m., so usually for errands it was a one-way trip. My roommate and I tried a few different arrangements, but he was absolutely horrible at knowing what to get. After he spent $150 of my money on groceries for the month and came home with $150 in booze, I decided to just handle the grocery shopping myself. This quickly became a routine on Wednesday, because I would spend an extra 30 minutes after lecture looking over the professor's notes. This was for applied physics, and every little detail was helpful, so most of the students that were of the same major did the same. I would take the bus to a local competitor to Walmart, which was open 24 hours, do my shopping, then make the 3-mile walk home at around 11:30 while carrying groceries. Along the way, there wasn't much. Just a few car dealerships, some apartments, and a few bars. It's at these bars that I would typically stop. They were around 2 miles into the trip, and often I would go in and get a drink. Since I was 18, I was allowed inside the bar, but I could not purchase alcohol. Fine with me. They had sodas too. After making this trip a few times, I started to pick a specific bar to stop at, because the guys there were nice. No one messed with my groceries, and honestly, I wasn't objecting to the view. You see, the bar was a gay biker/leather bar. Yes, I'm gay, whatever. The bar was set up with an open courtyard in the front, with a large awning that opened the courtyard to the street and a great view of the river across the street. They had these thick plastic curtains that could be pulled across to cover the bar's interior during the weather, for events or the day. However, with the heat, these curtains were wide open, and fans were blowing non-stop to keep the space from becoming a sauna. On the night in question, it was a real horrendously warm and muggy May night, the kind of night where it feels like you're breathing water instead of air. I stopped at the bar and ordered my usual root beer. The bartender popped an IBC open for me, and I slowly drank it, letting myself cool down from the heat. I ordered two more and hung around almost 30 minutes, chatting with two guys inside the bar. It was Wednesday night, and the bar was pretty dead, with only 6 to 7 customers besides myself and the bartender. One of the guys I'm talking to is fairly straightforward, but I turn him down. It was already late for me, and I had class at 7 a.m. Plus, I could tell he'd been drinking fairly heavily, not something I find particularly attractive. I exit the bar with my 4 paper bags of groceries and start to walk down the street. I make it about 50 feet before I see bright red and blue lights around me, and a police cruiser whoops at me. I stop and turn around. A 30-something male police officer exits the car and asks me what's in the bags. I tell him just groceries and offer to show him the receipt. The police officer snatches the receipt from my hands, looks it over with his flashlight, then puts it in his pocket. I politely ask for it back and explain I need it to settle up the grocery bill with my roommate. He says it's evidence and then demands to inspect my groceries. I'm starting to get exasperated, but I set my bags down and allow him to look through them. I don't have anything perishable, and everything is either in a cardboard box or a plastic bag. The officer rifles through the bags, taking everything out and setting it on the sidewalk. At first, I thought he was...
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just counting each item to match to the receipt. When he has the last few boxes, he pulls out a pocket knife and uses it to rip open a box of rice. "Hey, what are you doing?" I shout loudly. The police officer replies with the most matter-of-fact tone I've ever heard. "I'm searching them for drugs." I stood there, blinking for half a minute while he proceeded to destroy the 5 boxes of rice, some mac and cheese boxes, and a bag of beans, before saying, "Why would you think there are drugs in sealed boxes of food?" The police officer ignores me, so I take out my phone and start taking pictures. He hears the shutter sound and demands I hand over my phone. I reply with, "No, I'm recording a crime. Destruction of personal property." The police officer loses it. "Give me the phone," and he calls me a slur. He charges at me, grabs my shoulders, swings me around, and shoves me down on the hood of his car, sending my phone skittering into the street. He then proceeds to announce that I'm under arrest for transporting drugs, and that he is going to find the evidence wherever I've hidden it, followed with another slur. He then proceeds to pull my pants down, underwear and all. The next few actions happened so fast, my elbow rocketed backwards, smashing into his nose and shattering it. I then pull my pants up in time to turn and see him at his feet, pulling his gun. I reach out, grab his wrist mid-draw, pull his arm down, and lunge behind him. His arm violently snaps, and he lets go of the gun. I then hurl it into the river. I turn around to see him screaming into the radio, calling for backup to deal with. A fucking tweaker. I walked over to my phone, picked it up, and called 911. 911, please state the nature of your emergency. I've just been sexually assaulted by a cop, driving unit 238 while at 1354 Birkin Street. He's calling for backup on his radio. I broke his shoulder while escaping his assault. He ripped down my pants in the middle of the street after destroying my personal property, which I have pictures of him destroying. His gun is now in the river. I know this call is being recorded so it can be used in court, which it will be. Do you understand? The 911 operator is silent for 10 to 12 seconds, which I use to allow myself a few breaths. I understand, sir. Our protocol is to dispatch the officer sergeant to the scene. Do you see his badge number or name? I replied that I did not. However, there was another police car 4 to 5 blocks down the street, and with what little time was left, I wasn't going to get closer. I told her to send whomever was the most senior police officer on duty at the time, and that I was going to call a lawyer. I then hung up right as the second police car arrived, and a mid-50-something officer with a stereotypical police mustache got out and pulled his gun, telling me to freeze. I'd already set the phone to auto-dial, so I raised my hands to show I was unarmed, and then the officer lowered his gun and began to approach. Before he did, the phone was answered, and I put it on speaker. It's Luke. I'm at 1354 Birkin Street. I have just called to request the police chief to my location because an officer has sexually assaulted me. By now, the second police officer is within 5 feet of me, and his face turns as white as a sheet when he hears the voice that came out of my phone. I want that officer's name and badge number, and I want you to put him on the phone. I'm also on my way. The voice is clipped and very official, despite being well past midnight. I hand the phone to the police officer in front of me, and motion for him to hand it to the first police officer. The second officer brings the phone to the first officer without question. The first is leaning against his cruiser, moaning about his arm and nose, and answers the phone with, "Who is this?" The voice on the phone calmly explains, "This is the district attorney. What is your name and badge number?" See, my grandfather was the chief of police for the city I grew up in, only 30 miles from the city I was in now. And he had regular events with everyone within law enforcement for the local departments. Everyone loved and respected him, and he reciprocated by being a mentor to many of them, all whom called him by his nickname, Muzz. One of them was a young ADA for the county, who was now the city DA. She had actually lived only a few properties away from my grandfather, and was a regular fixture at family events. By now, two more police cars are coming down the street, and the second officer is starting to look like he's going to mess his pants. Meanwhile, the first officer is explaining everything to the DA, who calmly listened to everything, then instructed them to stay there until she arrived. She ended the call with, "And anyone who touches Muzz's grandson before I get there won't have a job anymore." I stood around for 30 minutes while the police talked amongst each other about what had happened and took statements from the bartender and patrons of the bar. It turns out they all saw the whole thing. The chief of police arrived in his own vehicle, and he started to talk to the first officer, who was sitting in an ambulance. Moments later, the DA arrived. I grew up with this woman. She knew me, and I knew her. She took one look at the boxes of destroyed groceries on the ground in front of me, then marched up to the officer and demanded to know what search had been authorized. She had a look on her face that would have made a grizzly bear back down. The chief tried to explain that the officer had believed I had drugs in my possession and was searching my persons for them. She listened to this, then pointed to the police cruiser. "Let's see what the dash cam shows." Turns out, the cruiser had a four-way dash cam, giving it a nearly 360-degree view of the vehicle's surroundings. It showed the cops staking out the bar for over 2 hours before I had arrived, immediately pulling up to me as I exited, and the whole search. The chief tries to explain that the officer had gotten tips about drug dealing at this bar, and that he often sees illicit activities here. When the camera showed the officer pull my pants down, she said, "That is sexual assault. I don't care if it's supposed to be a search, which was conducted improperly and extremely inappropriately. The officer is in the wrong. Anything done after the fact is self-defense." The chief tries to explain that the officer will be disciplined, but that my actions were excessive. He says the EMT thinks the officer's arm is broken and his shoulder is dislocated. She, however, replies with, "I don't care." She then turns on her heel and approaches me. "Are you okay?" I replied that I was fine, just tired and pissed that this guy would attack me. I asked why, and she said, "Let's ask him." We walk up to the officer, still in the ambulance, and I said, "I wasn't doing anything wrong. You saw the receipt. I was only carrying groceries." He clearly looks like he's been given some pain medication, because his face looks like he's about to giggle. But my question makes him look me straight in the face, and he says, "It's obvious you're gay. I've seen you go in that place with bags. You aren't very good at hiding what you're doing. That place only survives on party drugs, and I know they're dealing. You were just the obvious person to be taking the drugs to the school." I just looked at him stunned and turned to walk back to my groceries and pack them into their bags. The DA then offered to drive me home. Along the way, she asked me, almost as a formality, if I wanted to press charges. I said I did, and asked her what I should do. She advised me that she would press charges against the officer on behalf of the county for the illegal search and the assault. I thanked her, and she said she would make it hurt. It turns out the bartender had recorded the whole thing on his smartphone, and he turned that over to the DA as well. Combined with the dash cam and the fact the whole search was completely founded in the officer's homophobic beliefs, the DA destroyed him in court, where he tried to fight that it was a legitimate search for drugs. The judge did not buy it, and neither did the police union, who dropped his legal counsel after the first part of the proceedings. In the end, he settled for 5 years in prison rather than risk a trial he would undoubtedly lose. The day after his sentencing, however, his reality got even worse. See, the state I lived in had been working on an anti-discrimination law, which included protections for gays and lesbians, and adopted it while he was on trial. Under the new law, automatic civil action was to be taken against him by the city because he had committed a crime based on a discriminatory act while acting on behalf of the city. The city did file the suit, and guess who was there to meet him in the courtroom the day after he was sentenced? You guessed it. My grandfather's friend, the DA. I was sitting next to her as she watched him enter, and her face turned into the Cheshire Cat's, complete with the wide, toothy grin. I still remember how he looked, oh so scared to see her again. Once again, she destroyed him in court. The hearing was a massacre for any defense the officer could have made, and before the judge even got to see the footage from both the recordings, the officer's lawyer proposed a deal for a $50,000 punitive payment, plus legal fees and damages, and settled the case. I didn't care too much about the damages, as I would only get the cost of the destroyed groceries back, unless I filed my own civil suit. But I did make an arrangement with the DA to send a photo album of me spending the $25 in damages for the destroyed groceries on buying identical replacements, just so he would know that I had, in fact, purchased them at a grocery store. I even got the store clerk at the checkout to pose with me as she rung them up when I told her the story.
Let's begin.
I used to work in a nursing home as both a CNA and an LPN. And while nothing too crazy happened, there were definitely things that happened out of the ordinary. I remember one time after someone had died, I was cleaning up her body, and the door to the room swung wide open, even though it had been firmly latched. Nobody was there. It gave me the creeps. There were instances of furniture being moved, lights turning on and off by themselves, and toilets randomly flushing by themselves as well. I also remember I had one resident one night who asked me to make sure I closed the door to the closet that was on the end of her bed, and she told me that when it was open, that woman kept going in and out of it all night, and it kept her awake.
Thank you for being here when you have so many other options.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.